Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Our first reading comes to us from the epistle 1 John from the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 6. You're welcome to follow along with your pew Bible on page 1485, 1485. Hear now these words. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John from the 15th chapter, starting with verse 9. Found on your pew Bible, 1314. Hear now these words. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy God, thank you for the beauty of this day, for the mercies that are new, for the opportunity to come together and gather and to have the Holy Spirit imbibe upon us to remind us of who we are, whose we are, and who has called us to this place. You are a God of love made manifest through Christ Jesus and reminding us through the power of the Spirit. So as we wrestle with Scripture this morning, allow me to get out of my own way, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts may glorify you. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I'm not going to lie. This week has been intense. A few months ago, I always come in and say, "How are you doing?" And what do y'all usually say? "I'm fine." A fine is a way of closing off conversation about what may actually be going on in your life, and that is not what God calls us to. God calls us and invites us into a space of openness, honesty, vulnerability, and that requires us to be in a place where we can trust one another to hear our story. But this week was particularly hard because I could not drag myself away from the live stream of General Conference. As you may remember, two Sundays ago, I actually drove to Charlotte and was fortunate to have family nearby that I was able to spend some time with family, and I helped with registration and to be able to welcome and invite people to Charlotte and get them checked in, those who would be doing the hard work of General Conference. And when I say hard work, it is hard work. They had to lug those books that Pastor Amy showed to everywhere they had to go. That was what they were required to have when they sat on the delegation floor. The first week was pretty straightforward. Worship, they broke into legislative committees, and they decided what to consider and what not to consider. And if things were passed with well numbers, they went on what was called a consent calendar, and then it went before the body, and they were approved in mass, right? But there were some things that they removed off the consent calendars, or the votes weren't such to be considered that way, and they went before the body. So a lot of the deliberation or the conversation about this legislation happened this week. So all the legislative work and committees ended by Saturday. They took Sunday as Sabbath, and then they started at 8 a.m. with worship and worked until 6:30 at night, with breaks for lunch and small breaks in between. That's a lot of time, friends. And I would get frustrated with my phone when I'd lose my live stream as I was driving in the car because I was waiting for the results. So I couldn't drag myself away because there was important things that they were taking up this week. As Pastor Amy mentioned, the last time the body had gathered in the usual configuration was 2016, where they called upon the Council of Bishops to intercede because the delegation, the body, had come to a screeching halt and could not do legislative work or considerations. That's ultimately what led to the special call General Conference in 2019, where they passed what you may be familiar with as the traditional plan. And that implemented harder consequences and language that just was hard to hear. I will never remember or never forget the moment I was walking the track at the YMCA, and again, I was attached to the live stream, and when I heard that the traditional plan had passed, I sobbed in the YMCA. Because what had been passed was actually causing harm not only to the existing body, but to those who called United Methodism their home and those who may find a place here. It caused harm to clergy persons who were called to serve and care for whoever happened to walk in the door, with dire consequences if they chose to go against the rules. And I'm like, where's the hope for the church? Truly, where's the hope for the church? I made it no secret to this community where I insist on creating a space of welcome for all people, recognizing that we may not all agree on everything, but John Wesley calls us to love one another. That we may not agree, but we will hold to the love of God as the thing that binds us together. So COVID hit, General Conference got delayed, and now 5 years later, they convened in General Conference. And some of the important things that I think are important for us to take away from General Conference is that the spirit in the space was completely different. In all General Conference gatherings before, there was a spirit of tension, of animosity, of sides, and whose side was going to win. And I got to be honest, that is not in line with what God intends for us. There are no winners and losers in the life of faith with God. Do you agree with me? Can I get an amen? Amen. But even being there for those few short days with registration, I palpably felt a difference. There was a spirit of generosity, of openness, of consideration, of willingness to compromise so that our beloved United Methodist Church could move forward truly as a global witness to the love of God. And what is it that binded that work? This very commandment that we hear in Scripture, that Jesus commanded us to love one another as God had loved us. That is what would bind them together for their work. And some of the things that have come out of that, friends, was a move towards what's called regionalization. That each context, by doing regions, moving from a U.S.-centric with missional outpost to truly a global denomination where we can contextualize and do our work based on where we are, and yet all be held under this umbrella of grace and mercy. That's huge, and there's work still to do. Another huge thing that came was revised social principles. That is where it's not just the rules, but how we embody and live what we hold to be core to our identity as United Methodists. And through that revised social principles, all of the harmful language that had been in place since 1972 has been removed. The harmful language has been removed. And in addition to that, in all of the places where the traditional plan had put in stringent consequences and punishments and outright, you're not allowed to do this, that caused harm, those pieces were also removed. Did everyone agree in that space? No. But what did they have in mind? They had the spirit and the future of the church at heart because they were committed to being bound by God's love, knowing that it is God who calls us to obey that commandment, to love God and to love one another as we love ourselves. Is there work to do? Yes. Is there a sense of hope and spirit of moving forward? Yes. And I am thrilled by what is going to happen later. What would have been restrictive is now allowed to be decided upon by pastors and congregations. So if you have had your ear to the ground, this does not mean y'all have to do things other than you have to love God and love one another as yourself. That is the have to. And that we will do no harm, that we will do good and stay in love with God. So what does this mean for us? It means we will continue to do what we're doing. We're going to continue to worship on Sunday mornings. We're going to offer our praise to God for gathering us together. We're going to welcome and embrace those who find a place here in this community that we may bear the witness of God into the world so that others may come to know the love of God as you have. We will come to receive the gift of God's grace, knowing that we are incapable of doing this on our own as the light bearers of God. And we will have humility and sensitivity to all of God's beloved children. This is not an us against them, a win or a loss, friends. This is about God's work in the world. And thanks be to God that God does not leave us where we are, but continues to encourage and strengthen us to love, to care, to nurture, all by the sustaining power of God. This is a gift. And thanks be to God for a love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.